I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape, and coming up, we're going to meet one of Opera Theater of St. Louis's young singers. But first, producer Alex Hoyer talks with actor John Lithgow. Lithgow has won an Emmy, a Tony, and a Golden Globe. You may know him from his role as Dick Solomon on the TV show Third Rock from the Sun, or as the voice of Lord Farquaad in Shrek. He's also been in the films The World According to Garp and Terms of Endearment. But he started on stage, and that's where he returns tomorrow night at 8 o'clock when he'll perform his one-man show, Stories by Heart, at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center. Alex first asked him about Stories by Heart.
Stories by Heart is a show that I devised about, 7 years ago now at Lincoln Center in New York. And it's a kind of autobiographical piece, but it takes off from the fact that my father read stories to my siblings and me when we were kids from a big fat book called Tellers of Tales, which was a compilation of just spectacular short stories. And we had our favorite stories when we were kids. And it's a two-act evening, and each of the two acts features one of these stories, which I perform as a kind of one-man, full-out, kind of virtuosic performance piece. But I also frame those stories with stories from my own life and my own family, particularly my dad, because when he was an old man, I got the bright idea. He was ill and very kind of depressed and ready to die. I got the idea of reading bedtime stories to him and my mom from the same book that he'd used to read bedtime stories to us. And when I surprised him with this book, told him to pick a story, he picked a story called Uncle Fred Flits By by D.G. Woodhouse, which I had pretty much forgotten. I just remembered that it was a very fun story. I read it to him, and I just rediscovered it. It sort of exploded in my hands. The most wonderful piece of comic material. And it made him laugh, and it cheered him up. And in my mind, it extended his life. And from that little epiphany moment, I kind of devised my own philosophical answer to the question, why do I do what I do? Why do I act? Why do I tell stories? And why do people want, need, and love stories? It's an evening about stories, but it's also big entertainment because I perform these great pieces.
And it really sounds like it was initially a way to connect with your family about this kind of this art of storytelling.
Very much so. I mean, storytelling was a big part of my growing up. I'm sure that's why I'm an actor. My father himself was a man of the theater. I tell a lot about him, too. It's also a wonderful way of keeping alive the memory of this marvelous man. He was a kind of pioneer of the regional theater movement back in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. And I was there, you know, I was a kid acting in the plays. So it just, it's kind of good feeling to go out there and remind people of him, people who have never heard of him, mm-hmm. but who in my mind is a really important person in American theater.
And when you're on stage, it's a one-man show, and you embody many different characters, is that right?
Yes, when I start performing the stories. Until then, it's just a conversation with the audience, really. Mm-hmm. There comes a moment where in the evening where the line is blurred between a conversation and a performance. Before you know it, you see me acting my head off. Yes, in the P.G. Woodhouse story, I play 10 different characters.
And I read that one of them is a parrot?
Yes, exactly.
How in the world do you play a parrot?
Well, you just have to come and see Alex. But it's a very persuasive parrot. I even did research.
Well, and that was one of the questions that I wanted to ask you. Regardless if it's this one, Stories by Heart, or some of the other roles that you've had, many of them being character roles, how do you perform research and kind of get the essence of the kind of role that you should be playing?
Mainly, it's just working very hard on... I mean, in the case of these pieces, I embody several different characters and I create different scenes. I mean, you have to really imagine these people by the time I almost feel like I should take 10 different curtain calls. They are very distinct characters. So I'm not sure it was as much research as simply
working out very carefully how to distinguish, how to create the illusion of two, three, four, five people and a parrot all in conversation with each other and very animated and angry, sort of heightened conversation. Mm-hmm. I see it as a kind of magic act. So it's not quite so much research as it is pure rehearsal. And I've been doing it for 8 years now, so I've got it down to a science.
Has it changed over those 8 years?
Well, the most massive change is a recent one. I've introduced yet another story, this spectacular horror story called The Monkey's Paw, which many people know, but most people, even if they knew it, have forgotten it. It's Act One ends with the horror story. Act Two ends with this marvelous farce. Act One is kind of like us as children discovering the magic of storytelling. And Act Two is about my folks as old people just being very comforted and excited and amused by storytelling.
You mentioned rehearsal, that you kind of get it down to a science because you rehearse it so much. But I know that often when you're on stage with a one-man show, it's only you. But often when you're on stage, you have others that you can play off of. You can, even if you're slacking a bit, you can rely on others to pick you up. But you just can't do that with a one-man show. I'm wondering about the complexities of doing a one-man show as to other theater productions.
It is very hard. You put your finger on it. One of the great joys of acting is acting with other people and the feeling of being in company and the feeling of throwing the ball back and forth. You don't have that when you're doing a one-man show. In a sense, I sort of rely on the audience for that. I try to create as much a relationship with the audience as I can. Many aspects of the play are opening myself up, telling my own story, and telling them just why it is that I enjoy doing this so much, and try to infect them with that exuberance. By the end of the evening, I want them to just have had a fantastic time. You know, I try to take the same joy in performing as they take in watching. That's, in a sense, what the whole evening is about.
What kind of emotions do people walk away with, do you think?
Well, I scare the daylights out of them at the end of the first act. And I delight them with P.G. Woodhouse, the most hilarious wordsmith, atomic writer, whom a lot of people don't really know or have forgotten. They've forgotten just how wonderful Woodhouse is. He's the creator of Bertie, Wooster, and Jeeves, of course. But the story I tell has nothing to do with them. It's just riotously funny. There's a couple of 10-second long laughs, and I certainly leave them with that. But I also, you know, in performing Uncle Fred Flits By, this funny, funny story, there is this other dimension. It is the story that brought my father back to life. It's the story that deeply amused and comforted two old people. I just like the evening to be more complex than simply scaring people in Act One and amusing them in Act Two. I want them to think a lot about the whole nature of storytelling and what it does for us. And also, I just love sharing myself and my own and the story of my parents.
Have you ever shared your story with StoryCorps, the public radio project? This is what I'm thinking of as you're kind of talking to me about how these stories helped you connect with your father specifically.
Well, I just love StoryCorps and The Moth Hour and even This American Life. I think there is something has re-entered our culture, and that is the delight in storytelling. And I think there is a clear reason for that. I think as technology has taken over so much of our intake, our sort of intellectual and emotional intake, there is a sort of backlash to that. People are reverting to wanting to hear stories and wanting to tell their stories. I do believe that everyone, Shakespeare had great stories, but all of us have great stories. If you sit down with anyone and ask them about their lives, they can bring you to tears or or cripple you with laughter. You know, we all have stories. And the whole kind of curious choice we make to go into a big empty theater and fill it up with loads and loads of strangers and sit in the dark and watch somebody else tell a story, that strange circumstance is something that we deeply need, and I think we need it nowadays more than ever.
Yeah.
In a sense, I feel like Johnny Appleseed going out and telling stories, especially going to the Midwest.
You grew up in Ohio, is that right?
Yeah, in different places. So that's where my father ran Shakespeare festivals.
And I know that you don't live in the Midwest no longer, but do you still feel some sort of connection with it?
Very much so. I remember when I went out to do my role in Terms of Endearment of a small city, Des Moines, Iowa banker. I just remember feeling, I hadn't been back to the Midwest in many years at that point. And I just felt this overwhelming sense of having come home. And I always feel that. It's one of the great joys of doing this show is going out and seeing the country. Most of the cities I go to, I've never been to before. And they're fantastic cities. I've been to St. Louis exactly once.
When was that?
35, 40 years ago. And I just went out to see a friend act at the Loretto Hilton. That's the only time I've ever been there. And I was only there for about 18 hours. So I get there the night before the show, and I get an entire day in St. Louis. So you tell me, what should I see?
Ooh, well, the typical thing to say would be that you need to go up in the Arch. But there are so many fun things to do, especially if the weather is going to be nice. You should go to Forest Park, I think, and maybe just walk around. Well, that's where all of our great, great museums are.
Oh, great. That's exactly what I will do.
Well, great.
But, you know, I do that in every city. I always give myself a day. And it's like I feel like a politician running for office. You know, you see cities in this country that you've only heard about, never seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
What advice would you give to telling stories? If someone is having trouble sharing a story or even listening to a story, what advice would you give to someone to tell their story?
My goodness, I don't know. I've never been asked for that particular piece of advice. I don't think people need advice telling stories. We all have our favorite stories that we sort of, if we're called upon. You know, the wonderful storyteller, Golden Gray, who did Swimming to Cambodia, he used to do a marvelous piece. He had several set pieces that he performed. But one of his great ones was called Interviewing the Audience, where he would pick someone, as people were gathering and going into the theater, he would just pick someone to be the subject of the event that evening, and he would interview them about their lives, and it tended to be much more dramatic than anything he could perform. Everyone has a story. I mean, that's the point.
Now, I know our time is limited, but I did want to get to one more thing. I didn't even know about you that you've done children's books, children's picture books.
Oh, yeah. That's my kind of other career.
And
you don't know that because you're not under 8 years old.
What got you started in doing that?
Well, I've always done children's concerts ever since my own kids were small. And the concerts got bigger and bigger in scale and scope back in the days when I did Third Rock from the Sun. Suddenly I could try all sorts of things and people would give me the chance to do it. And the children's books came out of the concerts. I've done 9 of them now, and all but 2 are pieces that I actually perform for kids. Many of them are my own songs. Some of them are narrations for orchestral, Child's Guide to the Orchestra Suites. One of them is even the narration of a ballet, The Carnival of the Animals, that I wrote. And so, you know, as a book writer, I'm a very good actor.
That's actor John Lithgow talking with producer Alex Hoyer. Lithgow performs his one-man show, Stories by Heart, tomorrow night at 8 at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center. And coming up, we're going to meet one of Opera Theater of St. Louis's young singers. This is St. Louis Public Radio.